Tonight I want to talk about something that's very important. I want to talk about holiness. I want to go back and read a few verses before where Jerry started. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 9, and I'll read down through the 14th verse, where he started with verse 15. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In this passage, Jesus has somewhat to say that challenges those of us who are Christians. Among other things, he identifies the locality where we are to exercise our discipleship in Jesus Christ. He points out very specifically and very clearly that as his disciples, we are in the world. Sometimes I think that many of us get the idea that our Christianity is somehow separated from the real world, and that we are to exercise our Christianity in some kind of an unreal world. And that somehow there is a great gulf fixed. We suppose that if our lives were as disciplined as they ought to be, as committed as perhaps we would like for them to be, that our life in Jesus Christ would be, to use a common expression, out of this world. But Jesus has an insight for us here in John chapter 17. And that insight is that our discipleship is not out of the world, it is in the world. Now, certainly it is true that we are pilgrims and sojourners in this world. In one sense, we understand that this world is not our home, but it is in the sense that this is not our permanent home. And in the meantime, it is our home. We belong here. And somehow we get all confused that if we belong here and if we are a part of the world, if we're in the world, that somehow we cannot be holy. And many of us have developed some sort of if-only syndromes whereby we think, well, if only this, then I could be holy. If only that, I could be more holy than I am. Let me give you a scenario or two or three and see if maybe you can identify with some of these. You know, if only my house were arranged a little bit differently, I could sure be more holy than I am. You see, the living room is nice, and it's got a nice easy chair there, and it's got good light, and I can sit down, and I can read the Bible there, and I can study. But you see, it's really not a very good place because the living room is right next to the den. And there in the den is the television. And if I sit just right, I can sort of see it out of the corner of my eye. And even if I don't sit just right, I can hear it. And I see and hear things that sound so very interesting. Now of course, you got to understand that I don't like TV. And all of us think that's the way we're supposed to be. that we just ought not to care anything at all about TV. But you see, on occasion, when I'm here in the living room trying to be holy, I see some dastardly deed done to somebody on the tube, and I say, well, now, how come that? And I've just got to go and see about it, and 1 hour and 47 commercials later, I'm not nearly as holy as I intended to be or as I want to be. So you see, my house is just not set up for me to be holy. Now, of course, there's always the kitchen. But you see, in the kitchen, there's the refrigerator. And when I get close to the refrigerator, the door just seems to fly open. And I've got to look through all of that and find me something to eat, and that interferes with my being holy. Now, of course, if that doesn't work, there's the bedroom. But there's the bed. And I've been up since early morning, and I've worked hard all day, and boy, that thing really looks good. And so I've just got to get me a little nap, and I'm not as holy as I want to be. You know, I guess there's just one solution. I'll build a new room on the house. And I'll just make that new room the meditation room. But just as soon as I get it built, you know what's going to happen? Millie's going to move her sewing machine in there, if it'll fit with all of my computer equipment. I could be holy if only my house were more conducive to my being holy. You know, I could be holy if only I didn't have to drive on the freeway. I know some of you can identify with that. I get up in the morning and I leave early as I can, hoping to avoid problems, but even as early as I get on the freeway, there are a bunch of dumb heads already out there. And I see by your smiles that you recognize some of those folks. And they're out there making all kinds of signals that don't make any sense. And you know what? Most of them are starting to switch lanes just when I intended to switch. And that creates all kinds of problems for me. And I start out the day intending to be as holy as I can. But by the time I get to the office, I'm the one that's in need of prayer, because it just disturbs me to no end. Oh, yeah, I could be a better Christian if people just quit bothering me at work. Just about the time I get started on something, somebody comes in and they disturb me. And I feel sort of like the fellow who wrote a book entitled, We Really Do Need Each Other, and then followed it up with the sequel, Will Everybody Please Leave Me Alone? I could be more holy if I just didn't have 14 interruptions in my day. Well, what are we doing? You see, the if-only syndrome leads to an unnatural separation between what's going on in the real world out there, with houses arranged as they are, with freeways, with traffic like they have, with people who interrupt our days with some kind of unreal, imagined world over here where we could be holy if we just did not have all of those problems. But Jesus, in talking about where we exercise our discipleship, said, we're not going to take you out of this world. We're going to leave you there. And here we are. We have sounds to hear, and we have ears with which to hear them. We have places to go, and we have feet to get us there. We have words to say, and we have lips to frame those words. Why, if somebody didn't tell us better, we would almost certainly conclude that we are right where God intended us to be, because it seems like we're just perfectly suited for where we are. And that's the reason that Jesus said, they are in the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. John 17, verses 11 and 15. Well, what does that mean for you and for me? What that means for us is that the life we now live in the world is a life of tension. And that tension is found in these two statements, one of which says, they are thine, they belong to you, God. And the other one that says, they are down here in the world with all of the mundane and the freeways and all of the other things. Christians belong to God, yes. But Christians are in the world. And somehow we've just never gotten our thinking straight about living in between the times. Living between the time of birth and death. Living between the time of the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Living between the time of our becoming part of the body of Jesus Christ and His returning to take us home to perfect glory. And so we sit here in our tension, which is a part of our existence and our seeking to be disciples, seeking to be holy and belong to God. Seeking to avoid the problem that we sometimes get of it seems almost seeking to be more holy than Jesus was. As we define holiness. For we often define holiness as being somehow separate and apart from the world. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus lived in the world, Jesus walked in the world, and Jesus found a way to reconcile belonging to God and yet being upon this earth. How was He able to do it? And what does He want you and me to do as we struggle with the same problems and difficulties? Listen to it. John 17:17-19. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be consecrated in truth. Jesus' prayer for His church, Jesus' prayer for the people of God is that they be sanctified. It is that they be holy. And I suggest to you that Jesus did not pray for that which is impossible. Accordingly, we must conclude that it is possible for His people, His real world people in the world, to be holy as He would have us to be holy. But what then does Jesus mean when He prays that we be holy, that we be sanctified? Let me suggest a very simple definition of holiness. To be holy means to be different by virtue of belonging to God. Now there are two words, at least two, in that definition that are significant. One of them is the word belonging. In the context of belonging to God. You see, only God is holy in and of Himself. And anything else that is holy by virtue of its relationship with God. For instance, when we turn back into the Old Testament and we look at the temple with its worship, we find that the vestments and the ceremonial utensils and things of that nature in the temple were holy. What was the difference between those utensils and some that might have been in the homes of the wealthy of that day? Probably not much. as far as value was concerned, as far as appearance was concerned, as far as materials were concerned. But these utensils and vestments that were in the temple were holy by virtue of the fact that they had a relationship with God. They belonged uniquely to Him. And if that's the case with things, is it not also the case with people? Fundamentally, I suggest to you that the Bible says we are holy because of the fact that we belong to God. And when Jesus prays that we might be holy, that we might be sanctified, He is praying that our entire wills and our entire intentions may be consecrated and committed to God and to His service. That all of our talents and all of our energies, our lives in their entirety should be marked with, as it were, a seal of consecration. This belongs to God. And this seal of consecration is a renouncing of self. Our entire will, our entire intentions belong to God. It is a renunciation of self just as surely as Jesus Christ renounced Himself when He left heaven, poured Himself out, counted not the equality with God a thing to be grasped, took on Himself the form of a servant and was found in fashion as a man and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is radical belonging to God. But that's what holiness is. Maybe we can understand it if we go back and look at it in light of God's Old Testament people. The nation of Israel. The truth of the matter is that apart from God and the call of God, Israel was not very much. Israel was something by virtue of the relationship that it enjoyed with God. And when the Old Testament prophets came along, they warned Israel over and over again, Israel, don't have anything to do with the nations round about. Don't be caught up in what they're doing. Don't act the way they're acting. Don't run with their gods. I suggest to you that those Old Testament prophets proclaimed that message not because they were political isolationists, they proclaimed that message because they knew that if Israel turned after the nations round about, it would drive a wedge between them and God and destroy that relationship. And if that relationship were destroyed, they would prove false to their identity. And when they proved false to their identity, read the Old Testament history. In fact, you know it without reading it. Trouble followed every time. Isn't this also true of the church? If it is true of the Old Testament Israel, isn't it also true of the New Testament Israel? Where did the church come from? We didn't create it. God created it. The church is God's idea. And God says to us, I didn't call you because you were good. I didn't call you because you were great. I didn't call you because you were anything special. God says to us just exactly like He said to Israel of old, you are what you are because you belong to Me. Indeed, this was the point that Jesus tried to drive home in John 15 and verse 5 in the context of the vine and the branches when He said, apart from Me, you're nothing. You can do nothing. So to be holy means to put at the center of our lives what is in fact the center of our lives, and that's God through Jesus Christ. We are to be Christ people. We are to be fully devoted to serving the Heavenly Father. We're to be fully committed. We are to have on us the seal of consecration. We belong to God. The second word is the word different. We become different by virtue of our belonging to God. Our belonging to God results in lives that reflect His character and His will. Is it not true that each of us struggles with trying to be better? Trying to be more godlike, trying to be more Christ-like. I suggest to you that the way for us to accomplish that better than we are trying to do it under our own power is to do it by the realization that we belong to God. That ought to impact our conduct. Isn't that true in all of our other relationships that we enjoy? And if it's not, it ought to be. There are some things, or were some things, when I was growing up that I just wouldn't think about doing. Probably not because I had a full realization of what it meant to belong to God, but because I knew I belonged to my mama and my daddy and I didn't want to bring reproach on them. The relationship affected my conduct. There are some things that I wouldn't even commence to start to begin to think about. Because a bit over 36 years ago, I gave myself to Millie and she gave herself to me. And that relationship makes me different. It affects my conduct. And I suggest to you tonight that if we could just remember that we belong to God, we would be more different because we wouldn't want to do those things. That would bring reproach upon our Father. Oh, but it's so difficult, isn't it? And it's just here, you see, that we start thinking, if I could just get away from, if I could just do, if... No. Jesus said, Father, I don't pray you take them out of the world. You and I can be holy as God's people right here in the right now if we'll just remember that we belong to Him and that by belonging to Him we ought to be different. You see, at the heart of the matter, at the very core, holiness means God-centeredness, Christ-likeness, and God-sentness. God cannot take us out of the world. Because He sent us to the world. And the only choice that you and I have that we can make is that if we're going to be persons who are going to put God at the center of our lives and proclaim God to the world, we've got to do it now. With our houses arranged as they are. Driving on the freeways with all those people out there who don't understand us. And accepting the intrusions of those people round about us who come in and interrupt us when what we really want to do is shout at them, go away, can't you see I'm trying to be holy. God intends for us to be holy in all of those relationships in life. The word of the Lord comes to us in this world. The world in which we live. And the world to which we are sent. And the only choice that you and I have to make is whether we're going to say, yes, Lord. I accept your placement, and your challenge. Do you belong to Him tonight? Do you really belong to Him? Have you committed your life to Him fully? So that the seal of consecration has been placed upon you? And because you belong to Him, you're walking differently. You are indeed the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If you don't have that relationship with Him and you're His child, you need to come home tonight to consecrate yourself, commit your life to Him fully. If you're here and you've never become a child of God, would you not come with faith in Jesus Christ is God's Son who loved you and gave Himself for you. Repent of, turn away from your sin. Confess His name before men. Be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. Arise to walk in newness of life. Go on your way rejoicing. To live for Him now and with Him forevermore. If you're subject to His invitation, wouldn't you come while we stand and while we sing?